Last week, we kicked off a series at the beginning of the year, and we have been, actually, it's kind of an extension of the series that we were just in, on being, knowing who God says you are, your identity in Christ, and who God says you are. And so we jumped into January 2015 with this continuation of that theme of being defined, of allowing God to define you, and defining who you are in Him. So we're going to continue on with this defined theme, and I sat all week long, and this was killing me. Last week, before I taught, God had slammed my week with people, and God had slammed my week with just individual things that were happening, and I got no time with my teaching. So when I stood on the stage last week, the only thing I had heard from God, and the only thing I knew that I was supposed to talk about was 1 John 1:9, and I had the word defined. And that's it. I had no talking points when I got up here last week, and that made me very nervous. That made me very uneasy. I don't like doing that because I never know where it's going to go or if I'm just going to ramble on. This week, my week was just open, and I had nothing going on. I didn't have to help many people this week. My office was rather quiet, and God decided not to define my sermon for me until my drive to the office on Friday morning. I sat all week staring at our about page on the intranet, the Google web, and I said, okay, well, which one of these core values, which one of these do we start with our mission statement, which one of these core values do we start with? And I just sat and I stared blankly for days on end, just wondering, where do I begin with this? So Friday morning, God said, well, how about you start with the beginning? Oh, well, that's an idea. So Friday morning, God speaks, and this is what you got for it, all right? So we're going to start with what we believe. Is that a touchy topic for any of you? We, groupthink? Anybody? Everybody believes the same as I do, right? Theologically? How you handle life? How you handle situations? How you handle your finances? Everybody's just on board with me. Dismissed. Grace and peace. You guys are doing well then. So here we go. We go into what we believe. Now, what we believe, there's a phrase that we often use, and it's called unity, not uniformity. Anybody know what that means? That means we're unified, but we don't always believe the same things about everything. We don't always have the same views on everything. We don't always view Scripture the same way. We don't always view what's in the gospel the same way. And I agree with that to a certain point, and then I have to stop and I say there are some very foundational things, scripturally, that we all have to be on the same playing field in order to move forward together. Okay? And that's our views on the Holy Spirit. Just kidding. Only one person got it. Thank you. You can whisper to me as much as you need to. All right? Cool. No, it is our views on what we believe, our very foundational core belief as a Christian. Those things really need to be in place. And so as I unpack this, you know, feel free to come talk to me afterwards as I unpack this. If you don't agree with it, which, surprise, some of you may not, and if you do agree with it, just shake my hand and say, good teaching, Pastor, okay? I'll stand out at the front door. We'll go old school for this. So what we believe, God said start from the beginning, so we're going to start from the beginning. What we believe that God was and always has been. We believe that God is the creator of everything, of heaven and earth and everything in between. Now what you're saying is, Adam, I want you to define that for me a little bit more. I want you to unpack that. Do you mean that God created the earth in a literal 6 days? You're an idiot if you believe that, Adam. Or do you believe that God may have used an evolutionary process to make this happen? And I'm not here to debate those things with you. I'm here to say, yes, God created the earth. God created everything in between heaven and earth. It started with him. He has always been. You're going to find support for that in Genesis 1:1, the beginning, right? Some of this is going to just be a real duh statement, but I think it's real foundational for us to continue to move forward together as a body, okay? So I believe that God created, whether he chose to use an evolutionary process and it took many, many, many years for things to happen. That's not mine to say. God could have done that. Whether he did it in a literal 6 days, which generally when I read scripture, I'm a very literal person and I just take it for what it says, because if I believe God is who he says he is, for me, God can do anything, right? Okay? So if God can do anything, then 6 days isn't a problem. But I wasn't around, so I don't know if it took millions of years, okay? But I don't care. The fact is that God created, okay? He created you, he created me, he created every being on this earth. Can we agree upon that as a body? Grace and peace. This is easy, Matt. I lie when I say that. This week, I wanted to text you so many times. Matt is sitting right here. He's our teaching, was our teaching pastor for the last 2.5 years. And as I was racking my brains on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm like, I wanted to text him and say, come back, please. This sucks. I don't know how to do this. Please help me. Write this for me and I'll read it. Just do something. And so it's not easy. No, not at all. So God always has been. Has created everything. You, me, everything in between heaven and earth. That's a foundational thing, okay? The other foundational thing is he exists in three parts. There's God who created everything. And from the beginning, God has always had a creation, creator relationship with us as people. From the beginning, God has always desired our best interest at heart. From the beginning, God has always desired to love us fiercely. And so we have this relationship with God, and what happens is us, man, as in man and woman, mankind decides, you know, God is cool and all. We got this relationship with him, but we know better. Has anybody thought that in their relationship with Jesus? Has anybody thought that in relationship with their spouse? Has anybody thought that in relationship with anybody that we know better? And so man willfully goes against what God says in the garden, and he does the one thing God told him not to do. That sounds like me. And he breaks this covenant that God had with man. And man breaks this covenant and willfully sins against God. And sin means misses the mark. It means he did something other than what God had ever intended for his creation to do. And so man breaks this covenant by sinning in the garden. Can we agree that we are sinners? Grace and peace. So we have this sin that enters the world through Adam, through Eve. And we have this whole change of a ballgame of God's relationship with us. All through the Old Testament, you see God continually trying to restore his people, his nation, the people that know who God is, to himself. And so he does so with rules, he does so with regulations, he does so with impossible tasks, because these people are just running wild and doing whatever they want to do. Sounds like me. So throughout the Old Testament, you see people running wild, you see God trying to restore people, and so you see the game change and all these prophecies in the Old Testament of someone that's coming. Someone that will redeem this nation. Someone that will redeem God's people. Someone that will make this broken system whole. Something that will make, redemption happen. And so you have God the Father, who has always been and always will be, has created everything on earth, and you have mankind that has sinned against God, that has gone against what God said, And you have a new system that's happening, that's brewing, that's being prophesied throughout the entire Old Testament. And that new system is who we call God's Son, and his name is Jesus. Everybody know Jesus? Everybody used his name in a good way? Not hitting your hand with a hammer or anything like that? Okay? That's the important thing. So you have Jesus. Jesus is being prophesied. Jesus enters the scene. And Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God from heaven coming down to correct this broken thing that we have made life. Coming down to redeem this broken system that we, man and woman, have made useless. So God comes down, and this is all the important stuff. You guys tracking with me? This is the non-negotiable stuff of Whitewater Christian Church. God comes down, and I have to jump to the Holy Spirit here first, okay? The Holy Spirit is the third part of who God is. The Holy Spirit has existed as well with God and Jesus this whole time, okay? So the Holy Spirit comes down and finds Jesus' mother, whose name is Mary. Everybody know the Christmas story? We just got done with Christmas. Nobody knows the Christmas story. I got to start at the beginning. Okay. So Holy Spirit comes, and there is a miraculous thing that happens within Mary. She becomes pregnant without ever sleeping with her husband-to-be, Joseph. Okay? There's some miracles here going on. The Holy Spirit impregnates Mary. I don't know how that happened. I don't think it was by the way that some people think it happened. there's laughter. You guys have read those commentaries as well? Yeah, okay, all right. Cool. So you have the Holy Spirit come down, and there's this miraculous thing that happens. Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus enters the scene, okay? Jesus enters the scene to help redeem what we've broke, right? Thank you, Rich. Are you guys tired? Does it feel like Sunday school? Because this is stuff that we got to get down to even move forward together. Okay? Come on. So Jesus enters the scene. Jesus grows up. Jesus starts preaching and teaching and does everything that was prophesied about him in the Old Testament. Everything that the Old Testament said Jesus was going to come and do, he has done. Even to the point where this broken system that we've taken, it used to be sacrifices had to be made in the Old Testament to redeem mankind, to redeem you for any kind of sin, to redeem you for anything under the sun. They had these sacrifices that you would have to go and make, whether it be a couple birds, a calf, a ram, a lamb, all this stuff. There was different, all these ordinances for how you had to sacrifice in order to atone and redeem yourself. Jesus enters the scene and takes all of that away. And Jesus starts walking with people and healing people and talking with people and showing them a new way how to do life, a way that is and has always been intended for us, a way that has and has always been intended with our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And so Jesus comes on this earth for this very short time. We think it's around 33 years of life that he had. And he's preaching and he's teaching and he's talking and he's healing and he's explaining how life in the kingdom here on earth should be. And then Jesus does this incredible thing for us. He ends up taking the place of an animal sacrifice. He ends up changing the game for us forever. He ends up saying, "This is done. It's finished," he says. "It's finished." And he gets crucified, which means they killed him on a cross. They hung him, they pinned him to a slab of wood until he was dead. After finding no guilt in him, after having nothing solid to convict him for, they decide to kill Jesus. And he dies But the beauty of it is the story doesn't end there. And this is all stuff that had been prophesied through the Old Testament. This is all stuff that Jesus told all those people that were following him when he was here on earth. He said, this is going to happen, you know. This is what I'm here for. And a lot of people didn't believe him. A lot of people said, well, may it never be. But he said, no, this is why I'm here. So he goes to the cross and he dies. And what happens is he comes back. He comes back in 3 days like he said he would. He conquers death. He shatters the broken system that had been. And he ushers in this new, beautiful, functional system of grace, of mercy, of love, of beauty. And since that point, he came back for a little bit on earth and told his disciples to go and start telling people the good news, the gospel message, the life, the grace, and the mercy that they've experienced, the incredible things that they saw of him dying, of him resurrecting, of him living life with them. He says, I just need you to go and tell people about this, about me, about the truth that resides in this and what I've done to correct and heal and make a functional system. And so 2,000 plus years later, you and I are sitting in this auditorium because after he left, he said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You guys remember him or her? He says, I'm going to send you a helper. And all the stuff's in Scripture that I'm going to back up for you, okay? This isn't crazy Adam talk, caffeine-fueled crazy Adam, all right? I'll back this up with Scripture here in a second. So God sends this helper, and then 2,000 years later, here we are hearing the same gospel message about what Jesus did. That is the beginning. This is the long and the short of Whitewater's firm beliefs, okay? God has always been, and he created us, amen? God sent his son Jesus to come and die because we sinned against him, amen? Jesus' death brought about a brand new system that brings it down to a shelf that we can have, that we can have new life, that we can have grace, because he rose again from the dead and conquered death and healed a broken system. Amen? Jesus then sends his Holy Spirit, who exists in many, many, many different ways, and I still don't have the Holy Spirit pinned down. I'm gonna one of these days, though. Thank you for correcting my lie. But the Holy Spirit is this beautiful helper, this beautiful spirit that helps us understand Scripture, that helps us live with each other, that speaks really loudly in our lives when we are in some of the darkest places, that rejoices with us very loudly when we are in the light places. Amen. These are the core foundational beliefs at Whitewater Christian Church. These are the core foundational beliefs that you find here in God's Word, in the Bible. Now, there are a lot of areas in between that we can debate, that we can dispute, that we can argue over, that we can leave the church over, that we can look at one another and say, you are less than. You must not be talking to my God. You must not be listening to my Holy Spirit. There are a lot of those gray areas. But what it comes down to for Whitewater Christian Church is very much those things. You may have heard it voiced and been said as the Apostles' Creed. You guys know what the Apostles' Creed is? I'm going to read it to you for those that you don't. It is very simplistic. It is very beautiful. And if we center ourselves on this, a lot of this other stuff will help us deal with one another. It will help us deal with some of the different ideas that we have on, did God create things in 6 days, literally? Well, how does the Holy Spirit work in your life? Because I don't see that in my life. Well, what do you mean I have to explain, you know, grace and mercy to you? Shouldn't you just get this? If we center ourselves on the Apostles' Creed, a lot of this stuff's going to start falling away. And it may not fall away, but it may help us deal with one another in a loving, kind, grace-filled way. Unity, not uniformity. Amen? Okay. Apostles' Creed says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come, yet again, to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Worldwide Church, the communion of the saints that we just participated in this morning, the forgiveness of sins, what Jesus did for us on the cross, and the resurrection of the body of Jesus, and the life everlasting. And at the end, it simply says, Amen. Can I read it again? Let me inject the word we. Are you guys cool with that? If you don't believe it, you can. There's the door. I suppose. Go out and get some coffee right now, and then you can come back in. All right? We, Whitewater, believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Worldwide Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And all God's people said, Amen. There's a simple verse that backs up a lot of this stuff. Genesis is where you find the beginning of who God was and what he created and how he did it. But John's an awesome guy, right? Yeah, sure. I'm glad you agree. Jesus says in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, God, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. That one verse covers God, covers Jesus, covers the Holy Spirit. And then what does John 3:16 say? Anybody know it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him but have ever. Okay? You guys seem to know Scripture. So this is the core. This is it. And like I said, guys, we can debate one another on many different things, and there's beauty in that. There's beauty in finding God's heart and talking with one another. There's beauty in finding God's heart and disputing some of the gray, I will say, gray areas of Scripture. Some of you black and white folks may disagree with that, but I believe there are some gray areas in Scripture, and I know enough to say that I don't know. But I'm willing to talk with you about it all. And I hope you're willing to talk to one another about it all as we start from the beginning, as we define ourselves by what's actually important instead of the things that aren't. As we pick and choose our battles on what's actually important instead of the things that aren't. The heart of God is grace, love, mercy, peace. And it starts with us. being willing to say, we screwed up. Being willing to repent for the things that we've done. And living that out as Jesus had told us to, as Jesus displayed in his life. So that's the beginning, guys. That's Whitewater. And I pray that's you as you sit here. I pray that's you if you haven't been that way today and you are starting to live or starting to cling to this creed, this, I don't even like saying that because that can get crazy if you start clinging to too many creeds. but as you cling to the Apostle Creed, the important stuff, the foundational stuff, the stuff that makes this ministry viable, the stuff that makes this ministry, this is the only stuff that makes this ministry happen. And all the stuff in between, we get to love each other with grace and mercy. Amen? That's the beginning. I'm excited that you guys are willing to be defined along with me, that you guys are continually willing to be defined by who God is and who God says you are and how God desires you to be. I continue to see it in you guys, and I'm proud of you. Every single one of you, as you guys keep one ear towards heaven and are listening. God, who are you and who am I within you? Let's pray. God, we love you. And you do define, you do tell us who we are. And so many times we pervert what you say. So many times we take what you say and we twist it to make you sound like a hate, warmongering, non-grace-giving God. And that is not you. That is not your heart. And nor should it be ours. And so, God, as we read your word, as we read scripture, as we come across things that we don't understand, may we cling to the things that we do, that you are the creator, that you sent your son to die on our behalf to correct a broken system. God, that you exist in each and every one of us who have cried out to you and said, God, we're going to run with faith. God, we believe who you say you are, even though we may not understand you. And so you live inside each one of us by the helper that you send through the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do. God, thank you for who you have allowed me to be up until this point. And God, thank you for not leaving me there. Thank you for desiring more for me and for this body. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ and his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose, amen. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy worldwide church, and the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. And all God's people said, grace and peace, guys.